Well, I promised you the last time that we were together on this passage of Scripture that we were finally getting to the battle scene. You know, the Lord spends more time leading up to the battle than He does talking about the battle. We're going to start looking verse 38, and we're not going to rehearse everything we've looked at up till then, but before we read that, I want to just ask you if you've ever worked on something and you didn't have the right tools. I can remember when I was younger and I started working on some cars. At the time it was Ford, and they used both standard and metric on the car. And you could just be working on one part and move to the next, and you would have a wrench that fit, and it looks like it should fit, but it's just not going to work. It's so frustrating. And ladies, let me try to help you to understand. That would be like trying to do a recipe that both had cups and liters in there, and you'd wonder, how can I make this work? And you know, you have all the lines on that thing. You just don't know which goes to what a lot of times. It's just frustrating. If you don't have the right tools, it's hard to get the job done. Not too long ago, we were working on a faucet in our bathroom downstairs, and we had to replace the cutoff valve on there. But I couldn't get to it, and I thought, you know what? This is a great opportunity for me to buy a torch. I never had one. I've always wanted one, and you can always justify getting a... Brother, you know what I'm talking about, right? You can get a new tool if you're going to do it yourself. You say, honey, I'm saving at least twice that and calling somebody out here. But the torch didn't work, but I've got good news. I still have the torch. Amen. So I found out the only thing that was going to work on this thing was a hacksaw. It was copper and the only way to get in there, but the hacksaw was too big to get in, so all I could use is the blade. So I'm just hacking and cutting away, had the water turned off and everything, but what I forgot was there was about 6 feet of water column sitting on that thing. As soon as I broke through, boy, it was just spraying me right in the face, and I was just reminded of how much I love working on plumbing. And boy, I shouldn't lie behind the pole, but I hate plumbing. All right, boy, I tell you, you know, confession's good for the soul. But if you don't have the right tool, it's hard to get the job done. And whether that's the right tool in the kitchen, if you're going to be cooking or sewing, or if it's working on the car or woodworking, when you have the right tool and it is a good functioning tool, it is a lot of times a joy to get the work done. But if you can't get the right things, it's just not going to work. It's interesting to me that we see tonight David has the right tools. Now, it's not going to be what you think it is, or maybe it is. But we see that Goliath has some tools as well. And the question I want to ask you tonight is, what is in your hands? What is in your hands? Let's start looking in verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed, that just means tried, to go. For he had not proved it. David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. Now remember, and I just want to rehearse this just for your memory. He said there's two primary reasons why David did not use the armor. Number one, he was not used to it. It would have been huge on him if you think about Saul being head and shoulders above everyone else. There's no way it would have been a good fit. But secondly, remember we used the illustration of NASCAR. Saul would have been able to claim part of the victory had David somehow finagled a victory while wearing Saul's armor. He would have said, hey, he won because of me. And I think David saw through that, and he said, listen, it's not been proved. It doesn't fit. There's no way I can go to battle with this. And so in verse 39, it says, and David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. Verse 40, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. We've already looked at the description of Saul. He has the coat of mail. He has the brazen helmet. He has an armor bearer. He has the spear as a weaver's beam. I mean, he is decked out. He has been a man of war since his youth. I don't know how you can be a man of war since your youth, but he has been a man of war since his youth. I'm just saying, he grew up and he's been tried and tested on the battlefield. He's a warrior. And here's David with a sling and a handful of stones. Now, it's interesting to me, you say, I've got a lot of questions when I read that. When you go back just a little bit further, you see that Saul is blaspheming the name of the God. He did it for 80 days straight. For 40 days straight. Did you ever ask yourself why he picked five? You think that's perhaps it was a lack of faith on his part. Maybe it was because he thought, well, if I miss, I could have another opportunity. And listen, it's kind of like a six shooter, right? You get six bullets to try to take him down. That could have been a possibility. Listen, I think when you look at David's faith, according to 2 Samuel, we're told that Goliath had how many sons? He had four sons. Now, I'm smart enough to know, even in West Virginia, if you try to kill somebody's daddy, his boys are probably going to come after you, all right? It's probably not too different down here in North Carolina. But I think David thought, well, listen, as soon as I'm done with this giant, I'll just take the next four that come after me. He had faith. This is not a demonstration of a lack of faith. You ever wonder why he chose the stones? He said, well, that's what he was good at. That's what he would put in his sling, and that's what he had tried. I want you to think about this. We're not going to spend a lot of time, but this is the one thought I want you to get into your mind tonight. I think there's two reasons why that David would have picked a stone. Number one is because of Leviticus 24:16. Now, I realize that Goliath was not under the law. He was not a Jew, and God did not expect him to be under the law. But I want you to see this. It's just a kind of a curiosity. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 16, it says, "And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly do what? Stone him." They should stone him. "As well as a stranger, as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death." David was standing up for God's honor, and isn't it interesting that the one that defied the very God of Israel was stoned to death? Now, again, he's not under the law, but I think it's interesting, just an interesting fact. Number two, I want you to think about this. This is the one point I want you to go home with right here. And it is this. Saul had his hands full of the best weaponry that man's hand could make. You understand that? The spear, the sword, the armor bearer with the shield. That was those were all instruments of war that men could make. And it was the very best. It would have been the top of the line. He was the champion of the Philistines. Do you understand? So you would have to say that whether it was the blacksmith there, or if it was Goliath himself, somebody that was skilled in labor made those weapons. Were they effective in war? I would say they were. But let me ask you this. Who made David's weapon? Five smooth stones. God made that. And as we think about what's in your hand, I want you to ask yourself, are you looking to get victory in your life over the things that are a curse to you, or a struggle, or a giant in your life through the weapons of mankind? You say, what are the weapons of mankind? I would say things like psychiatry, pop psychology. Those things that are worldly in their wisdom that defy the principles of the Bible. You say, Christians don't go by that. I'm going to tell you, there are Christians that push pop psychology and call it biblical counsel. Listen, shame on them. Shame on them. But listen, we're called to be more noble and compare what we get from counsel or from preaching to God's word, and shame on the person that listens to it and follows it. Do you understand? We are just as responsible as hearers as the person that is giving that kind of garbage. And so listen, we don't need to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We don't need to try harder. We don't need to do those things that the world says will get us victory. But what we do need to do is put the weapons of warfare that God has given to us in our hands and trust Him for the victory. I'll be honest with you. I was waiting through the entire message the other night. I believe it was on Tuesday night, what we're calling 0-100. That's 100 trust in God and 0%. Because I know in many places the Bible is clear that there's a co-laboring together. And I was wondering, he called it a great paradox. And then he resolved it at the end. And I love the way he resolved that, saying that God expects us to do something, but he does not expect us to have confidence in that. And so when I think about the summation of the entire battle of Goliath, David and Goliath, I think it is, what is your confidence in? For Goliath, it was the weapons made by man. But in David, it was not even the stone. It was the God who made that stone. It's important to understand. You say, well, your title is a little misleading. Maybe so. It's not so much a matter of what's in your hand, but who you are trusting in. I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians 10. Verses 4 and 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What does that mean? It means they're not temporal. They're not to be seen. They're not the sword. They're not the shield. They're not the coat of mail. They're not the brass. It's none of those things. But what are they? But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then it goes on to talk about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Listen, we are not in a physical warfare, but we are in a spiritual warfare. You understand that? There is a literal war going on. And listen, we may be like David, and there may be some Goliaths out there, but we have the same God that David had. And listen, we don't need the weapons that man has provided, but we need to trust God to give us the victory in those areas that we struggle. By the way, that doesn't mean trying harder. The resources that Goliath had were from man, but David had the resources, which was the power of God. I just want to follow that up with a New Testament passage of Scripture. I want you to turn your Bibles over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I always have a hard time deciding where to start reading because Romans chapter 6 is so instructive. We're going to start reading in verse 10. Now let's go back to verse 9. I almost said 8. Okay, 8. Let's just go back to 8. It says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Now listen to verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign or rule in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Listen, what is it saying? Are we as Christians forced to obey the lust and whims of our flesh? No, we're not. We're being given victory. How? Look at verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto what? No? Whom? Unto God. Do you see? As those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. This is so interesting to me. The word instruments there carries with it the idea of a tool or a weapon. What of our weapon? Our weapon over sin is our ability to yield unto God. That's still the 0-100 principle. Do you understand that? David said, listen, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do my part. I can remember when I was in the service, my job was a fire controlman. Now, I didn't put out fires, but we started them in other places. All right? It's a weaponry. And so we had the 5-inch 54 caliber cannons on the front and back of the destroyers that you'd see. It had about a 9-mile radius, it could shoot 9 miles accurately, and it had a 50-yard kill radius. What does that mean? That means we didn't have to be that accurate. Now, we could shoot it. I don't know if that's classified. I better not tell you that. But it would go further than 9 miles. It would just be less accurate. But there was another weapon system on our ship called the CWIS, C-W-I-S. It looks like a little robot sitting up there. And it has a Gatling gun, 6 barrels on it. And it can shoot an incredible amount of bullets per minute. I don't think I can tell you that either. But it never shoots for a full minute. If it did, the barrels would melt. And that's just how fast it spits it out. This thing was so amazing that it had a radar in it, and what it was made for was shooting down missiles that were launched at the ship. And it would track this missile, and it would track its own bullets going out, and so that would intersect those two. And it was just an amazing thing. I can remember one time there was a plane pulling a drone back behind it. And the gun was armed. We were doing live fires, and we were supposed to have an offset on the... Well, they were supposed to have an offset. That was not my weapon system, I'd like to remind you at this point of the story. They did not put an offset in, and what they did was they shot that drone out, and it started tracking up the wire towards the drag plane. And that guy released that thing. I think they lost probably several $1,000 worth of cable right into the ocean, and he was done for the day. I'll just tell you, the weapons of warfare that we have available to us as a country is pretty significant. But the weapons of warfare that we have available to us as Christians are unstoppable and undefeatable. Do you understand that? We simply need to yield our members as tools or weapons of not to yield the members as unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. But it goes on to say, as those that are alive from the dead. You know, we talk about the power and the person of Jesus Christ, it always goes back to the resurrection. That is the reminder. That is where we are really made to understand the very power of God. It's comforting to know that we are not a slave to our flesh. It ought to be, right? There is nothing that we can say that the devil made me do it and he's sitting on my shoulder and I couldn't help myself. No, that excuse doesn't fly either. But when we say, God, I want you to have the victory, really, he's already given the victory. Is that not right? And all I have to do is yield myself, trust him, and allow him to get the victory through me, if I could put it that way. Boy, that's a blessing. That should be an encouragement to every Christian. You can't do it in your own strength. And how many times have you tried? And you try and you try and you try. And you try harder. And you know what I see from that? Despair. Discouragement. And I say, I just can't live the Christian life. And how many times has somebody said, oh, I've tried that and it just doesn't work. Well, what are they saying? They are not saying that they've yielded themselves to the Lord, to Christ. They're not saying, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. What are they saying? They're saying, I've tried to live a better life and I've tried to flip. Listen, you can turn over more leaves than a new rake, and that's not going to help you to live a victorious Christian life. But when you learn the principle of submitting and yielding yourself to God and allowing him to work in you and through you, then I believe you're going to start to see victory. I was reminded of that this week, and I've seen it already taking fruit in my life. And I'll just tell you, as I've told you this morning, I don't want in a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks to say, boy, that was the best revival I ever had. I can't wait for the next one. I believe we can live in that state. I don't want to call it revival because I believe once you're alive, that's normal Christianity. I want to maintain that. And I believe we can. And so as David is standing there and he's whipping that thing around. He doesn't need CWIZ and its radar tracking. He doesn't need the explosive detonation of 50-yard kill radius, because he has the power of God. And he has said, Lord, this is for your glory, not for mine. And I'm trusting you to do what I cannot. Friends, what are you struggling with? What is it that's still a giant in your life? And you put it off, and you put it off, and you put it off, and you're not dealing with it, and you think, I'm getting victory here, and I'm getting victory here, and this is just the dirty, dark part of your life that you don't want anybody to know about. But you think, I just can't get victory in this area. I'm here to tell you, you're right. You cannot get victory in your own strength. This is not a parable of the king's clothes and how everybody's experiencing victory and you're not, and so it almost be just a fairy tale. No, there is victory to be found in Jesus Christ. But if you don't believe that, I'll tell you this, you will never experience it. And so as we think about David standing there, everybody else was comparing themselves to Goliath. Do you ever think about this? That was Saul's armor. That was Saul's army. That should have been Saul going out. But he said, David, here, just try this on, all right? Go ahead, kid. Get out there. Do you realize that God had allowed David to grow privately before he ever put him in a public arena? When he killed that lion, when he killed that bear, there were not thousands of men staring at him, waiting to see what happened. God had him in obscurity, using him and training him and getting him ready. And then there was a time where he was put in the spotlight. And you know what? It was no different. He was still trusting the same God. I just want to encourage you. Maybe I should have entitled it, "It Doesn't Matter What's in Your Hand." But I want to be careful with that. All I'm saying is we don't need the tools and the weapons of mankind. That's not going to get us victory. But as we yield ourselves as instruments, as tools, as weapons of righteousness unto God, as though He's living the resurrection, we will live victoriously. Let's pray together. Father, as I look at this battle, it almost seems anticlimactic as we talk about all the different things that led up to it. And I know we didn't cover exactly what happened, but I think it's pretty well known that David takes one stone and puts it in, and the battle is over before it begins. Lord, he is so quick to give you the praise and the glory. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would help us to see in our lives maybe some area that is lingering, still struggling, still failing. And Lord, we've tried and we've tried and we've tried to the point where we may be discouraged, depressed in that sense. But Lord, help us to see that we can't do it, but only through you. Listen, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, you'd say, Pastor, there's still something in my life that's a giant. And listen, I could try to name off things that I know I would miss somebody. But it's just some area of your life you don't talk about with anybody. You would be afraid for somebody to find out. And you've just gotten to the point where you just don't think you can get victory. Listen, I'm not just talking to men. I'm not just talking to women. I'm talking whether you're a boy or a girl or a man or a woman, father or mother or a husband or wife or single. Maybe the Holy Spirit has already illuminated in your own mind what that might be. Listen, maybe it's just time to give it to Him. And then what I'm going to encourage you to do is to find somebody to be your prayer partner. Oh, Pastor, I don't want to bring it out to light. I just want to get victory without ever dealing with it. No, I don't think that's going to work. You got to have somebody, an accountability partner, whatever it is. Well, we talked about getting honest last week. It's important that we be honest with God. God already knows. He's just waiting for us to acknowledge it before Him. You say, Pastor, pray for me. There's something that I have just felt defeated in, even through a week of revival. It's been in the back recess in the corner of my heart or my mind, and I've just not dealt with it because I just feel like I cannot get victory. But I want to. Listen, it could be gossip. It could be fear. It could be something like pornography or some other sin. Listen, I don't know what it is. But you'd say, Pastor, pray for me. Listen, if that's you tonight, would you be brave and bold enough to raise your hand and say, I need prayer in this area. I need it tonight as a reminder that I can have victory. Would you put your hand up and put it right back down? Yes. Amen. 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 Is there anyone else? All right. Yes. Is there anyone else? I'm looking around one last time. I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. All right, Father, we thank you for how you work in lives and hearts. Lord, I just saw a lot of younger people raising their hands, children even, and Lord, I thank you how you work in their lives and the sensitivity that they have to sin in their life. And Lord, I pray that you will help them to see that there is victory in Christ. Lord, I pray now that you would help the rest of us to remember and to utilize the greatest tool that you've given us, that of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we yield to Him. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.